Welcome to the Moms of Triathlon podcast. I'm Amy Henderson, triathlete turned cyclist and mother of two to Oliver, who is four, and Margo, who is two.
And I'm Allie Wilson, former college summer turned triathlete and full-time stay-at-home mom to my two-year-old daughter, Beth, and my seven-month-old daughter, Hannah.
I'm Jen Gottschalk, also a former college swimmer turned triathlete. I'm an in-house commercial attorney and mama to Maddox, my two-year-old son. This week, we are doing a holiday debrief for our episode, so we're just going to get right into it.
Yay, the gang's here.
Yeah. Somehow, miraculously, on New Year's Day.
On New Year's
Day.
Yeah.
Yeah. So first of all, Amy, your intro.
Oh my gosh, you guys, New Year, no longer a quote pro triathlete. So which of course, as we all know, all of our listeners and all of you, like, I mean, that ship had sailed
for a little while. Well, it's funny.
I did do a pro triathlon last year, right?
I was just going to say that. Yeah, I was going to say, it's not like you didn't do it. Still, your focus has just shifted.
Well, like, because Amy was mentioning that she was going to change her intro, which got me thinking about it. I'm like, former athlete turned, or whatever. What am I? Former swimmer turned triathlete? Like, now am I like a former swimmer turned retired triathlete turned stay-at-home mom that doesn't exercise? Like, does that sound good for an intro?
I know. It's tricky. And this is like, you know, to peel back the curtain a little bit, this is something we've all been texting about, right? Yeah. Is like, what are our identities? And do our listeners care if we go months and months without doing a triathlon? And
years,
how,
maybe,
you know? Yeah.
Or without training or all three of the sports.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Yeah, it is. It's tricky. I think we all have had different moments of like questioning it or thinking about it more, or just, you know, trying to figure out. I mean, my personal belief is, I think everything that we're going through and dealing with is all relatable, right? And I think, especially for the listeners who listen week after week, they probably, I would think, are just, you know, they're just, they like to have their little Amy, Allie, Jen time in their ear holes, and they don't necessarily care. They want to hear about the mom journey and just like what we are making work along with that, right?
Well, it's tough because, I mean, I told you guys, you know, when we were texting yesterday, it feels like a little bit like the imposter syndrome because, you know, I'm not really doing much, but then, you know, that's, I guess, relatable too, because that's what we talked about, why we started this in the first place was to be relatable. And
yeah, and
this
we don't
is
wanna,
an example of it.
I mean, and like you were saying, Allie, and like we say a lot, is we had these crazy expectations when we went into being moms, thinking we're going to carry this through and it's going to be so easy. And like, because that's what you see, because you don't see the people who aren't doing it. And so I think it's great to, we all have different flows in it. All ebbs and flows and how much we're doing. And I think it's much better that we're not all like crushing it and like racing, you know, five triathlons a year, because I don't know. I don't think that would be very helpful for
that's true. Yeah.
People listening.
Oh my gosh.
And I think I would expect that we're all going to have different phases that we don't even know yet, like going forward, right? Like, I mean, I have dreams and aspirations of being like, let me have another baby. Let me get a few years after that. And then like, I don't know, I want to go outside and take advantage of this elevation and altitude I now live in and be like, I want to have another season or two where I'm like, well, what can I accomplish now? But I have no idea when that's going to happen. Right. Yeah.
It was.
And so you don't want to give up that identity because you're like, I still want to do that at some point. It's just not right now.
I was talking to our pediatrician who she's also a triathlete mom. And her kids are in high school and I think early college. And she said that after her second was born, she took a few years off because it just priorities shift. And that's kind of where I'm finding myself right now.
Totally.
Yeah. And it's even interesting, you know, I know, Allie, you've had an interest in this when we've talked to different guests of what do pros do when they retire? And because some mm-hmm. pros retire and they're still doing all three sports every week and still training, even though they're not like racing as a pro and it's their lifestyle and they want to maintain it. And then some people, it's like, okay, like I did that for this period. I liked when I was really focused and now I'm going to focus on something else. And honestly, I am excited for a phase in life when I go and I focus on, like, I don't know, I'm not a cross country skier, but for some reason I have a vision of myself doing that. like other things like that, where like it's almost impossible. And I know that people do that as still triathletes, you know, they'll have different seasons. Like even Jackie Herring, you know, pro triathlete who does like snowshoe running in the winter because she lives in Wisconsin. But it's, and so for us, I'm like, oh, we're so close to the mountain. I could definitely get to the mountain each weekend and take the kids and we could be like a cross country skiing family. But that would not, I mean, that would be tricky with like really focused cycling goals or triathlon goals, you know, even though it is the off season. Like it could be possible, but I don't know. It all just depends on where you want to put your focus and what you want to do. And so I totally have a vision. I am not opposed to the idea of like, hey, I do this for a set number of years and then I like fully shift to other focuses. But then I also see amazing moms who are like, you know, we have new moms. There's other moms on my team who are, you know, in their 40s or later or whatever, who still are like cycling and crushing it and then racing with their daughters eventually and stuff like that. And like, that would be sweet too. So
you can always come back to it though. You know, it doesn't have to be an ongoing thing. Like you're talking about, you want to go all in on cross country skiing because you don't want to be all in on, you know, but the problem I think with athlete mentality, I know I have a hard time with it, is feeling like you have to go all in on something, like not feeling we have to have a thing, right? Like,
yeah,
but I have that one thing, like Amy, you're a cyclist, me in my better days, and Jen, you know, swimmers, like there's that, you own that. And then, but it's okay to do more things with less, you know, effort into each of them, you know,
just
bike for fun and cross country ski for fun, but it's tough. When,
So, so, you know, as what started this all, thinking about the intro, I mean, I'm not sure exactly like how to identify and what do I want to do as my podcast intro for the next future, you know, period. But some of the ones I was like, okay, the one I did today was triathlete turned cyclist. But then I was like, okay, you guys are both swimmers turned triathletes. So I'm like, maybe I should be a cyclist with a triathlon background, which is basically how I honestly am going to be introducing myself to cycling. Like people I meet, cycling people, you know? And then I put on there, but then when you think about the podcast and it's like, oh, we're a triathlon podcast, like, is it bad to identify as a cyclist? Then I'm like, should I say I'm a multi-sport athlete with a cycling focus? You know, I still run. I still run.
I thought you like broke up for a second. I'm like, oh, did we lose you? I was like, oh, no.
No, I just couldn't. I couldn't say that. Swim. I swim with the kids.
So maybe we'll work on that. That can be a New Year's resolution for us. All maybe, I mean, Jen, your intro hasn't been, you know, quite as long. I mean, Amy and I have been pretty locked into ours for like over a year and a half or so. So
maybe we'll
toy around with it because I definitely do not feel like a triathlete anymore. That's okay. But big news, I did go swimming again today. New Year's Day swim, and historically it's the 100 100s. This was my second time swimming in 5 months. So I did 25 on the 2 minute, so just, you know, it was a longer swim than I did last time, and so hopefully I can get back into swimming a little more regularly. But as I'd hoped to kick off the year, I did get to go and swim a little bit. So
that's so good. It's funny because my best friend and I were FaceTiming this morning and she literally was like, what's your pool situation in Reno? Have you figured it out yet? Like, you should get in the water. And hearing you say that just motivates me even more.
Well, my last swim was so bad. And I think I didn't expect it to be that bad. So this one felt a little bit less terrible, probably because I was expecting it to feel like that. So
yeah. Nice. That's awesome. Yeah. Well, yeah. Way to get it. Way to get it done. Thanks. That's awesome.
Well, speaking of New Year's, how did you guys celebrate New Year's last night? I guess New Year's Eve last night.
Well, Devin and I actually took advantage of the fact that his parents are here for only a couple more days and went out for like a little date night and, just kind of went wherever the evening took us, like exploring a few different spots around Reno. So that was really fun. And I definitely thought like at 8:30 when we were sitting at this one place that we were going to go home after that. And we definitely stayed out till midnight. So
That
was crazy. Yeah.
Wow. and that must have been made. I know just before we were getting on, you were talking about your success with Maddox's bedtime. And I bet that would have been much more difficult. I know you talked about Devin's parents like going to bed earlier and then you guys have been like working on the bedtime. So how did bedtime go with his parents and like, how's that going?
Well, so it's funny because at that same place where I was like, oh, I wonder if we're going to go home after this or keep going. It was, like I said, 8:30-ish. And he kind of goes down between 8 and 8:30. And I said to Devin, I was like, let's like guess. Do you think he's already in bed or do you think they're still getting ready for bed? And he's like, I bet he's already in bed. And I was like, so Maddox gets like, depending on the length, one or two Mater shorts. Then we go to his room and we read three books. And then we go to, he goes into his bed. And we say goodnight now, right? And we leave and he's quiet. He literally protests as I'm walking from his bed to his door and then he's Beth quiet. Does that. Yeah, but that's it. So it's like a couple seconds.
Yeah.
So good. And compared to the hours we were dealing with. But so that it was funny because when we got home, like I said, after midnight, the dogs had made some noise. So his mom actually woke up and she came out and was like saying hi to us and stuff. And she was like, he got, I think it was three Mater shorts and seven books, and it was probably nine by the time I was leaving his room. I was like, I had a feeling he was gonna sucker grandma into some extra, which was funny, but it is totally fine. Like, you know, I'm not worried about a half hour like deviation or anything like that.
Yeah.
I have heard that within like 30 minutes of being off a routine, like it's fine. Like it's not a big deal.
Nice. Yeah. And the other thing is like, I never worry about like grandparents doing things that are slightly different. Cause it's like, kids learn the context, you know, they know like, okay, take advantage of grandma or do, you know, whatever. But then like,
yes.
So I don't think that's going to make it too much more difficult for you guys tonight or whatever.
Yeah. I think it should have like nap time went normal. Just, it was a little later as well. Cause my brother and sister-in-law and nephew popped by, but otherwise it went normal. And regardless, like tomorrow he's back at daycare and stuff. So routine's going to be, you know, back on. So
yeah.
Oh my gosh, so cool. And I think that's precious time. And that's like classic grandparent too, right? Like when you become a grandparent, you're like, I get to bend the rules a little because I'm the grandparent, not the parent. So
I don't know. Yeah. My mom spends enough time with Beth that it was kind of funny. We were talking about this the other day. We went out to dinner with them a couple days ago and Beth was just being really feisty at dinner. And my mom's around Beth enough that when Beth was acting up at dinner, my mom was like, you know, laying down the law, like, you need to sit down. And I'm sitting there like backing off like this, you do this. I'm getting a break from having to do this right now. So this is kind of nice.
Yeah.
So I don't.
That's kind of how my dad is with Maddox. He'll be like, he turns on the voice and he's like, Maddox. And then like, and I'm like, yeah, you do it. You do it.
That's great. I know, right? Yeah. This is nice, but I don't want to be that guy.
Yeah.
Oh, funny.
Yeah. But so that's what we did.
Allie, what did you guys do?
Well, in typical Wilson fashion, we had a bottle of champagne and had cheese fondue in our pajamas. So
that sounds amazing.
Yeah. And so Nick and I started this tradition a few years ago. Like, I think it was because in our industry, when we were both, you know, beer reps, there was so much just stuff going on all the time. And we hit New Year's Eve one year and we're like, I don't want to go out, you know, don't really want to be on the roads. we kind of joke that New Year's Eve is like amateur hour out, you know, because everybody that doesn't go out is like, let's go celebrate. So we just decided to stay home and we've been doing it ever since. We were actually invited to a New Year's Eve party and we really considered it. And then we were like, nah, we're staying home. So that was good. We did actually stay up till midnight, which doesn't usually happen though. So
yeah.
But nice. Yeah. Amy, what did you do?
Yeah, I've been delaying going. I mean, because basically I had like a mental breakdown and you know, struggled a little bit, but it's fine. Stayed up until 11:40 and then was like, okay, I was trying to go to bed so I could theoretically wake up and do a bike ride this morning, which I did not do. But yeah, I think like all in all, it was a good day. I got the kids out of the house. We basically, Nick's been like, he goes back to work tomorrow. He had this whole week off, right? So he's been trying to get stuff done. And so he bought this new IKEA dresser and he's been building it. And of course that can end up taking like a really long time. And so I was like, okay, I'm going to try to get the kids out of the house as long as I can. And we went to the arcade. We went to a really cool library. We started driving to Costco. Then we realized we forgot Margot's bunny at the library. So we had to drive back to the library.
Oh, shoot.
And then we were going to Costco and we saw this place that Allie, you've mentioned a few times called Cake Hoopla. Yeah. Yes. Where you get to go and decorate your own cake or cupcakes.
Oh, cool. Or something.
Yeah. I was going to, I wanted to talk about this. Like when we were talking about holiday activities.
Ooh, yeah.
It's pretty cool. So I'll just give them a little pitch. So the owners, I actually swam with at Idaho. They were seniors my freshman year. And they, one of them was from Portland originally. And she used to be an attorney and she decided she wanted to spend like more time with her kids and just kind of do something more conducive to family. And so open this and yeah, you basically buy your however many cupcakes you want and whatever flavors. Usually it's about, we did like a pack of six when we did it. And then you can pick your kit and it'll give you like the frosting, the sprinkles, the fondant, and kind of give you like a breakdown of how to do it. And it was pretty affordable and like just a lot of fun. So if you're local to Portland and you're looking for any kind of activity, check out Cake Hoopla.
Yeah. And you can totally do like parties or different things. Yeah. And they have all the different like, you know, rollers for the fondant and then cookie cutters and stuff. So we just did build your own, like the kids picked out their colors and, you know, spent some time doing that. And I was like, it's New Year's Eve. This will be a good little treat for later. And we got, you know, a bunch of stuff we needed at Costco. And yeah, but honestly, like basically this last week, you know, I like, you know, Cass was helping out Tuesday through Friday. And then Friday I got sick. Like me and Margo had some type of stomach bug, like a 24-hour stomach thing. And so I like had this whole, you know, plan for the day of like cleaning the house and like getting in my like 3-hour bike ride so that I would be ahead on the Rafa 500, which is the thing that a lot of people do before, like around like Christmas to New Year's Eve, where you try to get in 500K on the bike. And I was like trying to get it in while we had childcare for the week and then like was totally in bed all day and got behind on stuff. And then like, you know, just with the kids, like, I don't know, you know how things build up and how they like, it's like, okay, it's fine when they don't want to do something and they're running around and they like, you can't get them out of the house the first time and then the second time and then the third time. And then they're like crying because they didn't get their way. Like they didn't get like the fourth treat they wanted. And you're just like, oh my gosh, I can't handle this anymore. Like I texted you guys last night. I left Ollie's bed at 9 p.m. And he was crying because he'd wanted to watch, originally he was like talking about this Luigi video for Luigi's Mansion. We watch a lot of like Mario and like video game themed stuff. Okay. So he gets a video before bed. And so he'd wanted to watch the Luigi one that he'd been watching with dad. And I found that one. I found it on YouTube. And he said, that's the one. And he proceeds to take his finger on the little timer thing and move it from the beginning to the end until it goes and picks a random other YouTube video because he's like, I don't know where I was. So then it goes to a new Mario video, which he really enjoyed. And we watched it on like, he's literally watching it right now as we're recording because he wanted to show Nick and like watch it again. And then by the time Nick comes in, because he's still not sleeping after, you know, we're trying to like lie in bed and cuddle and stuff. Then Nick comes in and he starts crying to Nick that he didn't get to watch his Luigi Mansion video. And I was like, oh, Oliver, you had the option. I like ran out of the bed so fast. I was like, this is your problem, Nick. Like, I cannot listen to this. Like,
yeah. Sometimes you have to tap out, honestly. Sometimes you do. It's hard.
Yeah. It's just like Ollie's been doing this thing lately where he, when he's upset about something and he doesn't get his way, and a lot of times it's like because he wants video games or screen time or whatever, and it's just like more and more and more. And so we really need to continue to set boundaries and, you know, do a better job there. But when he doesn't get his way, he gets really upset, and then he's like, I'm never going to play video games again. I'm never going to brush my teeth. I'm not going to eat dinner. I can't do this. If I can't play video games right now, like, basically, like, the world is over, you know?
Oh, my gosh. It's dramatic.
It's so dramatic. So, yeah, I'm going to be doing a little research on how to address that. Because, of course, the funniest thing is when he's like, I'll never play video games again. And I'm like, oh. Like, hallelujah. Like, let's, can we stick to that?
Yeah.
Well, with the other ones, you could even just be like, I mean, I don't know how this would work, but just be like, well, okay, if you're not going to eat dinner, then we're all going to sit and eat dinner. And
well, that's what we do.
Yeah.
That's what we do. Like, that's what happens many of the nights. And I mean, and then exactly. I mean, that's what we do. We say, okay, well, like, if you're not going to eat dinner, you know, like, we're going to be eating dinner, and then maybe he'll be sitting on the couch crying, fake crying, like so upset, and then, you know, check in every once in a while, and then eventually he comes to the table, you know. So yeah. I mean, I guess that's the thing, right? There's not that much to do. You really just have to
weather the storm.
Wait it out.
Yeah.
Let them feel their feelings and they will move on. Kids are so resilient, but it's interesting because there's just so many years and phases, right, of them like developing their little personalities and figuring out the boundaries and like pushing your buttons. And like, we're starting to see this little bit of like a bossy side with Maddox right now. I'm like, oh, and like, we just keep being like, okay, well, like Devin and I have both been in a lot of leadership roles in our lives. So we're like, this is good. He's going to be a future leader. Like, you know, we like try to put a positive spin on it, but we also try to like make sure, you know, we're telling him to say please, and like, you can't just tell people what to do, and like, I don't know, all these different things. But it's funny because like, you talking about Ollie, it's reminding me a little bit too of what I witnessed at Thanksgiving with my sister-in-law and my nephew who's four. It feels like some of the similar vibes. And so I'm like, okay, that's the age where they're pushing the boundaries in this way, I guess, you know. And so that would be really trying on my patience though, for sure.
Oh my gosh, every day I learn something new then. Not that excited about. Yay. I think one of Beth's, her, she did this a while ago, but we'd been working on like, don't talk with food in your mouth. And it, you know, I think it was like, I can't hear you with food in your mouth or whatever it would say. And one day I like just taken a bite of something, and it was middle of the day, and she was in the living room doing something she was not supposed to be doing. And I was like, you know, with my mouth full, Beth, like, don't, she goes, I can't hear you with food in your mouth. And I'm like, oh no, this is not good.
Oh, yeah. Man.
Oh yeah.
Gosh.
Yeah. But rewinding more, I mean, yeah. How did everyone's Christmas go? Did people stick to routines? Did things go smoothly? Was everyone like very ready to be done?
So I've been laughing about this because we did that episode like how many weeks ago before the holidays of like what to do with holiday routines. And I've been thinking about it through this like last 6 weeks basically. And we had 7 like big gatherings over the course of like, yeah, like 4 parties, 3 big family dinners. And I don't really know if we followed our advice. Like, there was some napping in the front pack for Hannah, and like, Beth honestly did a pretty good job. Actually, it ended up that she would kind of nap in the car for like 15 minutes on the way when we went a couple of places, which ended up helping quite a bit with the stuff that we were out a little bit later. So I think all in all, we survived the holidays as far as like the parties and stuff. So
yeah, we definitely all like, you know, our wake up time got, I don't know if I would say later and later and later, but we definitely were like not going to be trying to wake up at school time, you know. But Nick, honestly, he's the one who did a better job of like trying to stick a little more to the routine and wake up and get Ollie up a little bit. And, you know, this morning, Ollie woke up at 7 and came into our room and like we sat in bed for a few minutes and then got up. And that's basically, you know, when he has to get up for school. So,
yeah. Well, and then what does he go back to school next week?
Tomorrow.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's good.
Yeah. So I think we're pretty fine there. I think, you know, there are definitely days when I push things. For example, Christmas Day, we decided, so we did like presents and stuff at our house. And then the big family get together for Nick's family was at his mom's house for brunch that day. So we went over there around noon. We had Swedish pancakes, which is the Henderson family tradition. And then we did like the gift exchange with everyone. And then we'd predetermined with Nick's mom, like, hey, we'll just hang out and then, you know, we can all have an early dinner all together for Christmas dinner as well. And, you know, like, cause I just like, I don't know, I just like have that feeling of like more family time. Like, I just want to be with family around the holidays. So that was like important to me because, you know, Nick's brother or his brother, our sister-in-law, like her parents are in town. And then Nick's sister, her in-laws are in town. So it's like they have other family to sort of split between. But we don't so much. You know, my little brother lives in town. And actually, my brother, Ted, drove up from Oakland for Christmas and stayed in our house and everything. Exciting. Like last second. So that was awesome.
Yeah.
But then they came to the stuff at Nick's family's house. And so anyway, so we decided to stay basically from noon to like after dinner on Christmas. And definitely the kids were like,
tired.
Can we go home? Yeah. They were tired. So
ours hit a wall on Christmas Day after we did 4 get togethers in a row. And Christmas Day was the last one. And by like 11, they were like, all right, we're done. Like,
11 a.m.
Yeah, 11 a.m.
Yeah.
And then we still had Christmas dinner with Nick's parents. Yeah. So. Yeah. But what one of the things we did do that actually worked very well for knowing we had all these gatherings is because it's really easy to get caught up in, you know, just going places and not getting home on time. We pushed bedtime back to like 9 or 9:30 for basically the whole week of like all the pretty much the last few weeks, which worked really well for being okay with going to gatherings and not having meltdowns on the way towards the end of them.
Nice. Yeah.
So,
and Jen, you had everybody in your house. So how did it go? Right?
Yeah. Well, it was luckily it was a smaller group. So
okay.
It was just me and Devin and Maddox and Devin's parents. And
okay,
that was it. And
everyone was there for Thanksgiving.
Yes, exactly. Everyone was here for Thanksgiving. Nice, everyone's
coming to you though.
I know. Yeah. Everyone was here for Thanksgiving. And then on like my side, everyone was split up this year because my brother's a fireman. He didn't have the holiday off this year. My sister Whitney was having her baby, right?
Oh,
He was born on the 17th. So she was, you know, staying in Minnesota. My parents were there with them. And then Courtney is, you know, due at the very beginning of February. So is basically just not traveling anymore. And plus her husband has family throughout Colorado. So they had people that they could be with, family they could be with. So on my side, we were all split up this year. And then since Devin's side was all together just for Thanksgiving, there wasn't like a big worry about being all together.
Because everybody, so, that's nice.
Yeah. So we took the Friday, the day before my birthday off, Devin and I both did from work, right? Yeah. And we drove to Mammoth that day, which is like 3 hours from us. My grandma has a house there that like we grew up going to. That's where we always stayed to go skiing and like in the summers and everything. And brought Devin's parents with us there. So we did my birthday in Mammoth. We did Christmas in Mammoth. Just the 5 of us. So it was like a small little group, and we just, you know, I went out for walks most days. There's where our house is, where we call it the cabin. Devin's family, being from Alaska, makes fun of me because I'm and maybe you guys too, I don't know, but no. For a cabin is a one room type house or whatever. We just call it the cabin because that's like what we grew up calling it, but it's a house. But anyway, the cabin is in walking distance to the village at Mammoth. So it's like, you know, where there's like a gondola you can take up to one of the main lodges and all of that. And there's like shops and restaurants and a distillery, and everything that's all in walking distance. So, you know, we would go down there. We did Maddox's first ever Santa visit. Which how'd was that funny. Go? It was so funny because we were like totally prepping him for it, right? And he's been like, I don't think he fully gets the concept, but he's been excited in the sense that like if he sees a Santa image in a book, like he knows, oh, yeah. Okay, Santa. And so we've been like telling him about it. And I think like a few days before that, when my brother and sister-in-law had taken my nephew, I'd shown, you know, Maddox the pictures, like, oh, look, Jack's sitting on Santa's lap. We're going to go sit on Santa's lap, whatever. So when we were in line, he was in such a good mood. It was like Santa was in one of the little shops and the line was outside and there were carolers outside and he was like dancing on Devin's shoulders and he was all pumped up. When it was our turn, I'll have to send you guys the pictures, because then when it was our turn, I think I might have posted them on my Instagram, that it was like full tears. I can't remember if I posted those or only like one or two of the semi-good ones we got. It's like literally not even off Devin's shoulders yet. Full tears of like all of that. So
that kind of sounds like how it went with Beth.
Yeah, I feel like everyone has that, like, not everyone, but a lot of people have that like classic toddler crying on Santa's lap type photo, yeah, right?
We didn't even get a picture because she was so, like, Amy got a couple, but the professional photographer did not. And so there's a couple pictures of like Beth just like, you know, get as far away as she can. And yeah, it was at the end of like a long day too. So
But so because it was a smaller group with us, it was like we were able to mostly stick to routine, you know. I definitely haven't stressed if every single night bedtime is like our normal time or anything like that. But overall, I think we really have been able to, since it was the smaller group and we weren't like going out to, you know, parties or other people's houses, we were able to stick to our general routine, which is really nice. Especially because, as you guys know, and our listeners know, like the sleep battle has been so real for me the last few months, and we've just barely, you know, gotten into our groove there. So, I think that was good. The cool thing too, is now that he's going down so easy, I'm experimenting with like letting him sleep how long he wants to sleep in the morning, because I'm like, if he's not going to give us any trouble to nap or to go to bed at night, then the preferred would be that he sleeps as long as his body is trying to sleep. Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I'm kind of experimenting with that, letting him sleep a little longer. And
is he still consistently taking a nap every day?
Yeah. Okay. And it was, before we kind of got more of the sleep training stuff done with him, I was questioning, like, is this kid just done with naps, or like, what are we going to do? But since doing all of that, which our focus was really bedtime, but we apply the same exact type of routine at nap time, it's gone fine at nap time too. There was like one day last week, and I think it was hard because daycare was closed. So Maddox was home all day while I was home all day, and I was working, but, you know, luckily I had Devin's parents here with me. And there was like a day where he was awake in there for a while. He was climbing in and out of bed. He was turning on the light. So a little bit of like what we used to deal with for like hours at a time, but he ultimately took a nap that day and went to bed fine that night. So, yeah, but also I think that's a little bit to be expected, because the other thing is we've been potty training.
Oh, yay!
So,
how's it going? Yeah,
so we decided, we came back from Mammoth on like Christmas evening. So we did like Christmas morning there and everything, and then we came back on Christmas evening to Reno, and we decided the next day to just get up and start, because it was like, yes, I'm still working all week, but it is like more chill at work. You know, I just had a few things to wrap up before the end of the year. A lot of people were offline. I have Devin's parents, so two additional bodies and sets of hands
here to help. When else am I going to be at home with Maddox for a whole week? Like,
yeah,
why not just go? And I went into it with the mindset of like, if it's really obvious in the first 48 hours that he's not there, doesn't care, isn't trying, then I won't worry about it. We'll figure out a time again in a few months or something. But it's gone really well overall. We've definitely had, you know, I mean, it's never going to be perfect with potty training, but I would say like overall, we're very proud of how well he's doing. We overall think it's, you know, I think it's going better than I predicted. There have been like small moments of frustration, which probably just comes from like us knowing he's such a smart boy and having high standards. So like when he has a whole day that goes really well, and then the next day he like didn't even try to go to the toilet for one of them, I'm like,
yeah,
you are smarter than that. What are you doing? You
know, and it's like once they figure something out, or it seems like they do, you see it and you're like, oh, you got this. Okay.
Yeah.
And it's hard to remember that maybe that first little bit was kind of novel for them, but now it's like, oh, this is what we have. This is what we do now. So
But so overall it was like first day was like pretty random as far as like success, but he was very interested. You could tell he understood the concept. So it was like, okay, great. I think this is going to be good. Second day was decently successful. Lots of holding it though. Just like a lot less going potty in general. Yeah. So like you could tell he's like holding it. Also, he was like a kid who would like poop at a minimum of like twice a day. And I was like, okay, we're apparently going to poop once every other day. Great. Yeah. Cool. Then the third day, he like had four pees, like all in the pot, like zero accidents. Like the day was going so well. Then the next day I think was like, again, more random. I can't remember like exactly my days, but then like one day, Saturday, me and my mother-in-law decided we would do an outing. We had DSW coupons that were expiring that day. And Maddox had gotten a Target gift card from my grandma. So I was like, and then we'll go to Target and we'll buy like big boy underwear to show him and like a couple other things he needs with his $50 gift card or whatever. And I was like, this is gonna be our first outing, right? So the method we were doing too was like naked bottom completely the first couple of days. And then I did like commando, like, you know, pants or shorts on, but no anything under them or whatever. So we took him out like commando. We went to both places. Like in between, I was like, I put the pod, I literally packed two spare outfits, like full, like socks, shoes included. I put the potty in the hatchback of my Jeep. I was like, we're bringing this with us.
We did that.
Like, if he needs to, if he needs to like sit in it, that's great. You know, he can do it in the back of my car. I'll figure out where to dump it. It's fine. So I was like asking him in between the two stores. He said he didn't need to go. I was like, okay. And I was like, at least at Target too, you always know where there's a bathroom, right?
So yeah. Like, always walk in and know where one is.
Yeah. Yeah. But he didn't go to the bathroom the whole time on that whole outing. So I was like, oh my gosh. And because it was our first day of outings, I was like, oh, I'm going to do, like, in general, I'm not trying to make him just, like, sit on the potty just because, right? Like, I was reading about how, like, some people use that method, and if that works for you, like, totally whatever works for you. But I was reading about how, really, if you can do more of a method where they're learning to listen to their body, like, long-term, there might be less accidents. But, however, I was trying to teach him, though, for now, every time we leave the house or we get back to the house, I'm setting my timer for 1 minute and you have to sit to make sure you don't. I'm not even telling him like, oh, like try. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to just be like, to make sure you don't have to go or whatever, because I don't want this like forced feeling about it.
Yeah.
So we did that and we've been implementing that into like a few scenarios, both of like before we leave, when we get back home, and then we're trying to do it at transitions, like before nap, before he gets the diaper for nap time or before he gets the diaper for bedtime. And sometimes he's like, no, I really don't have to go. And he doesn't. And other times we get close to that minute ending and then suddenly he's peeing in the potty. And I'm like,
we've been doing that with Beth of like, cause she's kind of like being a little, not interested in going on the potty. So I'll be like, just try. And then she'll sit and then she'll go. I'm like, see, sometimes you think you don't need to go and then you do need to go. Like,
yeah. So, and I think in transitional times, it makes a lot of sense too, right? Because even as an adult, like, even if I don't have like an overwhelming need to go to the bathroom, if I know I'm leaving the house for a few hours, like I'll go to the bathroom real quick.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
Like, I think it makes sense too in certain situations. Or like I said, whatever works for you. But
I've also heard it called a safety pee. that you say, oh, before we leave, we're going to do a safety pee, you know, just in case.
Nice. Yeah.
And, oh, that's a good one.
Yeah. What was difficult or frustrating for me with Margot is that it would be like, okay, we had, you know, peed before we left the house, then went to this thing. We're at this event for like a set amount of time. And then I was like, okay, Margot, like, let's try to use the potty. And she like was super resistant, like really didn't want to. And then 10 minutes later, she has an accident. I was like, ah, I've sort of like made you sit on the potty. Cause I think it's at that hard. Time I was like, you don't have to sit. I know, it's really
yeah.
hard.
Yeah. Yeah. We did experience a little regression with after we bought him the underwear. I let him like try that a couple of like, and I think partway through, we did it for one day and he was definitely having a few more accidents. And then the next day we started with pair underwear on again. Then I was like, you know what? I think we're going commando again because you are having more accidents in the underwear. So tomorrow when I take him to daycare, like I'm going to take her all the options. I'm going to bring changes of clothes. I'm going to bring underwear, but I'm going to tell her, I think he's doing better commando. I'm not going to tell you what to do, especially she's helped a lot of kids find dreams. So I'm also hoping, even though like my mother-in-law had 5, you know, kids, this is my first time doing it. I'm hoping though that her constant exposure to it kind of, you know, over the last several years, year after year, she's had lots of kids go through her care that, there could be like, that could be extra helpful. There could be even more breakthroughs, whatever. But I will say like overall, I think he's doing a really good job. So I'm happy about it.
Yay. It sounds like it. It sounds really good. It's so exciting. Yeah.
We had some big breakthroughs at the Wilson household over the holidays. Hannah started crawling.
Oh,
and she got so her first tooth. We had like a couple days of each other, so
nice.
Yeah, that's been interesting. Well, you guys, so I didn't breastfeed Beth, but I am Hannah, and I know you guys have. Did you guys deal with like refusal
or
a little bit of that, but like refusing to nurse during teething and stuff? Because there has been, we've kind of had a few issues with, I'll like go to feed her. It's pretty funny, but even if she hasn't eaten for hours, I'll like try to get her to latch and she'll just go and she's looking up at me and she's just like making eye contact. She's like,
oh my gosh,
don't do that.
That's funny.
So but she also won't take bottles. And so we're trying to do sippy cups. And so it's like, she'll just go long stretches without eating. And then it's like, she'll eat like she hasn't been offered food in a week. So it's kind of been, and it's only been like before naps or bedtime, I've been able to get her to eat. Other than that, it's been really tough to get her to eat.
Yeah. I mean, I'm trying to think. So the tricky thing about my scenario is Maddox started cutting teeth at 3 months old. So he was, I mean, basically still a newborn and very hungry.
Oh my gosh.
And so,
yeah.
And I think overall he was one who used the boob for comfort. So I don't think there was a lot of refusal.
Okay.
Yeah, I will say like, yeah, I feel like, by that age too, like I mean, I only ever fed on demand, right? I never had Maddox on a feeding schedule of any sort. So
yeah,
I don't
have
know.
Her on a schedule at all.
Okay. Either. Yeah. So I don't know that there's ever a time where I'm like offering it when he hadn't asked, like he wasn't the one initiating. But if, you know, it's been hours, like obviously
I think the thing
of
that,
of course, you'd be trying to offer.
Well, like last night she slept like 8 hours and then I got her up in the morning and I couldn't get her to eat. It's like she was,
wow.
You know, too busy doing other stuff. So the issue I'm running into is I'm like, I really need you to eat right now. Cause then if I'm pumping and I can't get her to drink that milk out of a bottle, the ongoing super fun stuff.
Like the thing I remember with Ollie was that there was a period, and I recall it being around like 9 or 10 months. Where he was.
I remember you talking about this.
Less interested in nursing. Mm-hmm. And I always look back and I was like, I should have taken that out.
And I've been thinking about that too, because I remember you talking about that with Ollie before.
But I don't remember it being tied to his teething.
That's what I was wondering, if maybe they're related, maybe
I
they're not.
I remember him getting teeth because I remember, you know, being bitten and then me reacting and then it taking about 2 of those situations for him to like stop biting.
Yeah.
And I just, at that point when he wasn't eating, it was like he was old enough where I definitely could have weaned, but I felt like, oh, I want to make it to 12 months. And, you know, I would have had to start because he was under 12 months. I mean, I don't know, like, what would I have?
Yeah, formula done? For a couple. Like, and that's what I'm trying to figure out, because, like, exactly. I'm trying to get Hannah to drink out of straw cups or sippy cups. And, like, we haven't tried a bottle in a while, but it's just been, it's been interesting.
Yeah, it is interesting. I mean, this is just another example of how every kid is so different. I feel like I've heard of that from other people before, but I, to answer your question on if I have an experience with it, I don't. Okay.
Yeah. And how long has it been?
It's kind of been like, it's been about a week. And like, yeah. I've heard that nursing strikes can last like for a few days, but again, you know, she'll eat when she wants to. It's just not very often. And so, yeah, it's, and Nick actually just texted me and said she's really hungry. And Beth's going to get out. So I do need to get going. I'll say one more thing really quick, though, is she's finding her voice. So she's doing those loud, like, little dinosaur.
Oh, my gosh.
The pterodactyl. It's so cute. Yes. And her and Beth are going back and forth.
I remember that.
And so Hannah will squawk and then Beth will squawk. And sometimes Hannah will just start going. And Beth will go, Hannah, stop squawking.
Oh my gosh. Wait, Allie, also before you go, can you tell us what Nick's resolution is for you in case Amy and I want to do that real quick?
Yeah. So I don't know.
Well, Allie told us last episode.
Yeah. So,
that's right.
But okay, reminder, and I don't know if what was on the recording at the beginning of this, but I couldn't find my laptop and I could not find my charger. So I was trying to do my phone. So yes. I have been looking for my computer for 3 days. And so Nick's resolution was start putting things in,
that's in
places. So like this morning I left to go swimming. I don't know where my glasses are. I'll just wear my tinted sunglasses at 8 o'clock in the morning on a cloudy day. So that's my Nick's resolution for me, was to start finding homes for things. So my laptop should be added to the list.
That's amazing. That's right. I do remember you saying that. Okay.
And then Jen, did Devin come up with one for you or?
Yeah, it's like not like, I was so curious what he was going to say. And then he was like, well, what do you mean? Like what kind? I was like, don't overthink it. Just say what comes to mind. And he said, my resolution for you is for you to get pregnant.
Oh my gosh.
That's a good one. But that's like, hopefully.
Same. I feel like that's literally like our number one goal right now.
It's just on the top of your mind. It's like, that's the goal.
It's top of mind. It's literally top of mind. So that's, you know, that's what we're just both striving for. We're both taking steps to even like just be healthier, drink less, or anything that they say could maybe help. We're both like doing at this point. So, you know,
well, shared goals bring people together.
That's And then Amy, did Nick have one for you?
Yes. So his resolution for me was, he didn't have like the perfect words for it or way to express it, but essentially it's basically do less, right? Find ways to
narrow down, reduce things.
Because I just clearly fill my time with too much stuff.
Yeah.
It's hard. I feel like we've gone through that in the past too, where like that's what I've been told by him or by family or whatever.
Yeah.
It's hard. And I think it makes sense, like in hearing you talk about life and everything you have going on and like some of the texts we've had, you know, in our group chat, like, you know, you do a lot and you excel at everything you do too. And that's a whole other part of it too, right? Is when you are always like, I mean, I think most people are trying to do their best at things, but like when you're always trying to be like the best at each thing you're doing, then the things that fill up your time then are even more demanding, because it's not just like the physical time, but it's like what emotional and mental toll is it taking, and like so all of that. And I can see that in you, like you want to do the best that you can at everything you do. And so if you're filling up your plate and you're trying to do it to like high standards, it's just easy to get like broken down. And like, I think your partner can feel the stress of that, you know?
Yeah. And it's just so hard because it's like, I like to be busy. I'm never going to not be busy. I'm not like not be filling up my time. But like you say, I mean, even if I were focused on like two things, like, you know, if I really reduced it down to like, you know, all the different things I'm working on and I just like cut it down, I would still probably be busy and spending a lot of time on those things. But I don't know. I think, yeah, it would be a little less overwhelming right now.
Yeah.
So,
well, it's like you said at the top of the episode, you're like, oh, I could even see myself being a cross country skier one day. And like Allie mentioned, she's like, if you did that, you'd go all in on it, right? Like, next thing we know, you'd be like at Olympic trials for cross country skiing.
Yeah, I know. It's, yeah. So I think that's part of it too, is like finding places where like you're not going all in, but
yeah.
Oh man. I mean, it's like the expression, if it's worth doing, it's worth doing well. Like,
right.
I don't know.
Yeah.
So, no, yeah, I'm definitely on the same page with Nick and trying to figure out, you know, ways that I could do that.
And
which is why it was funny, you know, last night, right? He's the one who's always said to me, he's been like, you know, some podcasts have seasons where they're not like going all the time, like
seasons
of stuff. And so then I think last night, as you know, I mean, I was having my little like little bit of a breakdown and I was talking to Nick about stuff. And that was when I sent a message to you and Allie and I said, I was like, should we just take the month of January off from the podcast?
Yeah.
And, you know, I had a whole conversation. We're like, okay, let's record today. Like, let's make a plan. Like, it's going to be fine. And really, that really was like a very, in that moment, like the past, I mean, honestly, the holiday season like has been very stressful for me. And so it's like, just, and the move. I mean, that's the thing. It's the move right
there's
before
been so much.
Mm-hmm. The holiday. And like, we're still, I'm so frustrated with the disarray of the house. And like, yes, if you knew that we just moved in October, you would be like, it's fine. It's in great condition. Yeah. But I just like cannot handle it. You know, it just feels like this thing hanging over me of like stuff to organize. So anyway, so with that, it's like, that is where I was sort of coming from of like, well, what if we just take a month off? And I was a little bit stressed about today's recording specifically. Yeah. And then it was so funny because this morning I was like, oh yeah, we're like, oh, Nick, we're recording at 2 today. And he was like, well, what happened to taking a break?
Yeah.
Like, you guys decided not to do that. And I was like, I don't know. Like, no one else seemed interested. So.
Well, I want to make it clear that I'm here to support whatever, because all of our mental health and well-being should come first. Absolutely. And I do think like some suggestions that, you know, we all discussed with like more planning meetings and things like that, we can talk about it. And we can also talk about if it makes sense to take a break. Right. I think too, like your point about the holidays and like, of course, the move beforehand that adds to it, but your point about the holidays is super legitimate and something to think about. And if we aren't going to have like a season that ends pre-holidays, because maybe that's one option. Maybe option B is really finding what time of year for us is less stressful to record and banking more episodes, you know, and saving truly maybe only like a holiday episode and a New Year's episode to record. Not even necessarily, it doesn't have to be those weeks, but like closer to or something like that. Right. So there's, I think there's a lot of solutions and, you know, our listeners are getting a little peek into the behind the scenes here, but I think like there's several different options. And I think like, I'm confident that us three all care about each other's, you know, lives. And we're moms first, right? And we have other things going on and like mental health is so important. So like we can figure out what makes the most sense for all, like the collective group.
Yeah, totally. I think one thing that's been hard is just like we come up with topics and we want the three of us to be together, you know? And
yeah.
I think adding in you as a co-host and being able to bring Allie back when she was ready and all of that, like it's so fun. And the idea is that it could help balance things out so that, you know, we can have weeks off or, you know, stuff like that. But what becomes difficult is that we get topics where like we really want to hear from all three of us.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're trying to balance that recording. And I think that is one the most difficult thing. So
absolutely.
I think we do need to accept that like there are going to be topics where, yes, I would love to hear what all three of us think, but we're going to have two people record it and the other person can still like weigh in with notes or share ideas, or we could even have like them react in the next episode or something.
Yeah. But
that we should be okay with it being two. I bet that would
Happen. I like the idea of like, you know, if you were an Allie, we're going to record on something. I could still go into the episode outline and be like, you know, I don't know where your conversation's going to go, but here's like some of Jen's thoughts. And you can like, you guys would have it right there as you're recording and be like, oh, like interesting. Jen had this note that blah, 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 when it fit in. Right.
Totally.
I think that's a really interesting idea. And I think these are things that if we do start doing like our quarterly planning meetings or whatever, we can really like figure out, like some solutions and make it feel more doable and hopefully not be such a burden. And we need, I know I've been saying this, but I need to get figured out how to be on the Instagram, because I'm totally happy to help in that. And like, I know you do our editing, Amy, and like anything I can help with to take a little off your plate in that way, I'm like super happy to do. So.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, I know. And we tried to get you on the Instagram, and Instagram was being like an iron wall.
I'm going to try again.
Yeah. Well, let's close things on a high note. Let's go into our Go Mamas of the Week.
Go Mama. Go Mama. Go Mama. Go Mama. Woo-hoo!
These can be any small triumph or thing that's making us happy. Allie, what's your positive this week?
My Go Mama is really just getting through the holiday season and just going with the flow, like just very simply like trying to just be relaxed about schedules and, you know, bedtimes and doing things and where we were going and what we were doing. And honestly, like it was probably our best holiday season. And I'm just very, very happy that I was just going with it this year. So,
Amy, what's your Go Mama this week?
Well, my Go Mama, I'll pick a little moment from today that happened just a couple hours ago. So Ollie's really good at like, he finishes whatever meal and then he goes to the kitchen sink. He pushes over the little stand that we have and he washes his hands. And then, you know, his kids' hands get so sticky and whatever. And he washes his hands after dinner. And so today after whichever meal it was breakfast because they were still in PJs. You know, Margo's hands were sticky. We had waffles. So there's maple syrup. And so she did a good job. Like she goes into the kitchen and she's like going to wash her hands, but she can't reach the, you know, the faucet like handle yet. And so we basically asked Ollie, we were like, oh, can you go help her? Like she's going to need help turning it on. And so he goes up into the stand and he turns it on for her. And then, you know, she washes her hands, she gets her soap and everything. And then we're like, Ollie, she's going to need help turning it off too. And he like goes back and he helps turn it off. And it was just like seeing them together. And they were also in matching Christmas PJs.
Cute.
And just like seeing him help her and like be there together was so sweet. And then actually like, you know, talking about potty training, I'll throw this in because it's another example of him helping Margo. She was saying how she didn't want to use the big potty. Like she did use the little potty today as like, we're trying to like get her back to using it periodically. And she used it. And Nick was saying that she didn't like using the big potty because she was saying something about there being pee on the seat. And so he was like, oh, maybe when she used like, oh, Gigi, when you use that one, do you feel like you get pee on the seat? And, you know, maybe she said yes or whatever. And Ollie gives his big brother tips of, well, Gigi, like you just have to push it down into the potty, like referring to his penis.
Yeah.
You have to push it into the potty so that the pee like goes in the potty. And I was like, okay, Ollie, like, you know, you have some there's some differences there. But anyway.
Yeah, that's cute. So
yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's so funny. I love that. Wow.
But yeah. Jen, what is your Go Mama?
Mine is just a simple one in that yesterday during Maddox's nap, I did a 30-minute Peloton ride followed by a 5-minute core workout and took a shower. So, you know, that's just always nice when you're able to get those things done and in at a time where you're not like having to be on as mom. So, yeah.
Good.
Yes. Thank you. Well, that's it for our show this week. Thanks for listening. We are excited to continue to share our experiences of training through pregnancy, postpartum, and with young kids. New episodes come out every Friday.
If you have any topics you want us to cover or any questions for us, you can find us on Instagram at Moms of Triathlon or email us at momsoftriathlon@gmail.com. This week,
we're doing a post. We can either call it a post-holiday catch-up or like a holiday debrief or something. I keep wanting to call it like coffee with the girls or like
tea. I know, right?
I'm scratching my nail polish off because I'm hoping to get my nails painted in this conversation.
Is that from when we got our nails done still? Okay.
No.
I was going to say. Well, I took all mine off, but I bought a dip kit like forever ago. And so I did dip stuff at home, but then they all like peeled off. So, but it was like breaking pieces of plastic off for like a week.